it's not really like this. There is a future that God's prepared for us, but it's not finished. The resurrection is just the beginning. As believers, there's many more episodes to this story. You know how, you know, you can watch a serial program, whether it's Downton Abbey, because of course that's, we've been into that, or anything, you know, something that comes on weekly, and you know, you might see at the end, to be continued. All right, because that means it's not finished yet. And yes, Christ conquered death, but it's not finished yet. That work is finished, but it's not finished yet. As believers, if we know Jesus, there are more episodes until the end. Many more episodes. And it's to be continued. If we are a believer walking with Christ, then there are many more things ahead of us after the resurrection. The resurrection was only the beginning. And if we look at John 17, verses 18 to 20, Jesus said this, says this himself. He said, as you sent, this is his prayer over not only the disciples, but his prayer over every believer who would follow him. Right? And this is what he's saying, what he's praying to the Father. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Who's them? The disciples first. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone. Okay, here's where we fit in. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. We are the ones that are believing in him through the word that has come down through the ages. So as he has sent, as the Father sent Jesus, he sends us. So the prayer wasn't just for the disciples. It was for whoever will hear the message. So what is it he's wanting us to do? He's wanting us to follow through with the ministry that he started and that the resurrection paid for. The covenant and the resurrection paid for a new beginning and a new start, and he's wanting us to follow through with that. And we could see that in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And this is where Jesus came into the temple and he opened into the synagogue. He opened up the book and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. We've been singing about it this morning. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All right, so if he was sent to do this, think we are sent to do this, right? We're sent to preach the gospel, not just to the poor and needy, but the poor in spirit, those who don't know Jesus. To preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, which we've done this morning. If you've been captive in an illness, we've been doing that this morning. Recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which just means this is the year of his grace. We are in the season of God's grace. And so this is the time that we have to be doing the same thing that Jesus did. And so this is the ministry we're to follow through with. And he reiterated it, what we read when he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. Jesus said it again, so this must be important to him. Jesus said it again in John 20 when he came. He had already risen from the dead and he was with his disciples and he said, peace be to you, or wholeness. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. How many here are believers and you know you have the Holy Spirit? Okay. And I dare say that's just about everybody. And then again, he gives us the Great Commission in Mark 16. And let's look at that one, Hannah. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, you ready for the signs? These signs will follow those who believe in his name. How many here believe in his name? Okay. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Now, you don't really go out and take up snakes, okay? It's figured like in that day, like Paul had to. He got bit by a snake and he could annihilate it, okay? But anything that you come into danger with, all right? If they drink anything deadly, not deliberately, all right, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick. What did we do this morning? They will lay hands on the sick and they will, amen. You are recovered in Jesus' name. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into the heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. That is so important. You know, that means he's finished his work. And they went out and preached everywhere. The disciples went out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with accompanying signs. Just as the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word with accompanying signs. If you believe and you walk in the Spirit and you have the confidence to step out, he will confirm the word with accompanying signs. That's his word. He says he will do it. He says he will do it. I'm believing today that we're going to hear testimonies, even today, of you feel that there's been a difference in your body. So here they are. They went out. We had the, you know, Christ spent time with them during those so many days after the resurrection, before he actually ascended into heaven. And, you know, right before he ascended into heaven, he gave that commission. And so here they are with the weight of that responsibility on their shoulders. All right? And he says, wait in the upper room. That's in Acts chapter 2. Wait in the upper room till you are endued with power from on high. In other words, the Holy Spirit was going to come down and fill them completely and overflow, and the power of God was going to be manifested in them. Now, they'd already received the Holy Spirit because he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But now this power was going to come upon them so that they can do and carry on the works of Jesus. And most of us here have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that power is available to us as well. So I want to just take us for a moment now and to just journey through that first encounter that we get in Acts after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I love this this account of the man who was healed, the lame man, at the temple. And so we're going to look at Acts chapter 3 and the first 10 verses. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now remember, they've just been empowered and the responsibility of the gospel's on their shoulders. So they're going up to the temple. It's the hour of prayer. And verse 2, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Now he's a man, he's not a child, so he'd been lame a long time. Certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Now, I want you to just think about this for a minute, because here we have a beggar. Beggars weren't allowed to go into the temple, into the synagogue, or if you were unwell. If you were sick, you were considered that you were a sinner. And so they weren't allowed to go into the temple. And so here you have this beggar that is brought to the steps of the temple there at the gate. And, you know, for him, it was just an ordinary day. This is what happened. He was brought there. He'd been lame since birth. You know, sometimes you feel like you've had something 100 years, you know, and it just seemed like you need it. No, Jesus had passed that way. Jesus had passed that way many times. You think, well, why didn't that guy get healed? Well, because the time's coming, man. It's here. This is where we take over. And so here he was, just an ordinary day, and just doing what he does all the time, sits in front of the temple, called Beautiful, to ask for alms. He really didn't expect that anything different was going to happen. It was just going to be a normal day. It's just, I'm just here to survive, basically. And so, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Now, obviously, for some reason, he wouldn't look at them. I'm going to show you a little dramatization of it in a minute. He wouldn't look at them, so he says, "Look at us." And I'm sure he was just expecting more of the same. You know, they would just dip in their pocket, give him some alms, and feel sorry for this beggar. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So he wasn't expecting anything to happen, and all of a sudden, Peter reaches down, lifts him up. He didn't preach to him. He didn't pray. He just spoke to him. And he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And then, I like this bit, he lifted him up. Now, I just got a little dramatization. Look, it's nothing super fantastic. It was the only one I could find. But it serves the purpose that you can just visualize the scenario and actually what could have happened, how it would have looked on the day. You want to play that? Everybody just passing them by, just, you know, this is normal. Going into the temple. They put them on the steps, they go into the temple.
Anything to give? Alms?
Look on us.
I love how he...
Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
I just think that just so depicts what must have happened. Everybody just hanging around, seeing this guy and like, oh yeah, there's a beggar, oh yeah, throw him some coins. And you know, we pass people by every day. Every day in our marketplace. And you know, it's just hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, we could be that one who just makes a difference in someone's life. And the way he just lifted him up. Notice he was going, everybody was going to a temple filled with church people. Church people sitting in the temple. None of them even thought to do something like that. Okay, so I know the disciples, they were just commissioned. And so they were going to start spreading the word that this is what we can do. And Paul the Apostle came and really made it even more so clear. But still, people just passing him by, church full of people. You know, I don't want us to be just a church full of people that sit in the temple. I want to be the lifters. You know, I want us to be the ones who stop, who see, who hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and just stop and bend down and be the one who picks someone up. Because let me tell you, if we have a church full of lifters, that atmosphere will draw people. That atmosphere will definitely draw people. If people hear that you can pray for someone and see results, if you can pray for someone who's even going through a bad time and encourage them and lift them up, that will create an atmosphere that people want to be around. The world doesn't want to be around a bunch of, I'm not saying we're this, okay? But the world doesn't want to be around starchy Christians who just sit in the church on do whatever and just follow the rules. But they want to see the life of God flowing. They want to see what Peter and John did. They want to see what Jesus did. They want to see resurrection power and resurrection life in the church, in the body of believers that are go out from the church. And so I just pray that, you know, this Resurrection Sunday, that would challenge you. And, you know, right now, I do want some testimonies. If you've had an experience this week where you were able to bless or touch someone, or if you have an experience of healing, maybe you've been healed, or maybe you got touched in this service and you know and you can give a testimony, come on up now and let's just hear what God's done for you. Because it encourages everybody else. Anybody?